News has broken today that China plans to replace Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, in a bid to restore stability. The Financial Times reports Beijing is planning to install the new leader by March next year through the remainder of her term, which ends in 2022. Anthony Dapperan is a Hong Kong-based writer and lawyer. He says Beijing's decision doesn't come as a surprise.
She really has caused havoc for them, not only here in Hong Kong, but in terms of China's relationship with Taiwan, and indeed China's broader standing in the world have all been impacted by Carrie Lam's decision to push ahead with this extradition bill, which ignited the months of protest. So it's not a surprise that Beijing should want to get rid of her. And the dilemma that Beijing faces is, firstly, that they don't want to be seen to be giving in to the protesters. And then the other problem is who to replace her with. It's a notoriously difficult job at the best of times, being caught between Hong Kong and Beijing. But in the current circumstances, where Hong Kong is in a really parlous state, whoever comes into that role is going to have to try and fix it. And that's a really unenviable job.
The FT have reported that there's two successors that have been identified so far: Hong Kong Monetary Authority Norman Chan and also Henry Tang, who served as the territory's financial secretary and chief secretary for administration. Now, why are they the front runners in this?
Both of them are people that would seem to have the ability, the track record, and the experience to govern Hong Kong in terms of management and execution. The question is, do they have the people skills and the political skills? Because what Hong Kong really needs now is a bridge builder, someone who can start this process of reconciliation across the community. And that takes someone who's going to be widely respected by both sides of politics here, by the pro-Beijing and the pro-democratic camps, someone who has the people skills to get out and talk to the community and engage the community and win back all that institutional trust that's been lost over the last several months.
Both of these front runners have a very financial focus with their background. Does this signify China's future plans for Hong Kong?
Beijing's always viewed Hong Kong through a financial business lens and its role primarily as a financial capital. It so happens also that many of the people who have that experience in senior public office in Hong Kong have that sort of background. The system in Hong Kong doesn't produce politicians, unfortunately, and most of the people who've had high public office haven't had to go through the process of campaigning, of dealing with constituents, of dealing with the public in the way that politicians coming up through the political process in a Western democracy would have. So that's always going to be one of the weaknesses of perhaps any of the candidates that emerge from this process.
Do you think we'll hear more from the protesters and the anti-government voices on what stance they have about who should actually be taking that role?
What I think the process will be demanding is that he or she is appointed through a process of universal suffrage, and that has really become one of the key demands of the protesters, that the chief executive should be elected through an open nomination process and then a full universal suffrage democratic vote. I think anything less is not likely to appease the protesters. They'll see any successor appointed by Beijing as being just another puppet of Beijing in the mould of Carrie Lam.
How likely do you feel an open nomination system is to happen?
It's extremely unlikely for now. The best hope the protesters realistically can expect is that whoever Carrie Lam's replacement is begins a new public consultation process with a view to bringing in those reforms in the future.
And do you feel like if they do put that on their agenda, that Beijing would support it?
Notwithstanding Beijing's view that all the troubles in Hong Kong are economic and to do with the unaffordability of housing and wage stagnation and all those things, I think that they must recognise that universal suffrage and the democratic aspirations of the Hong Kong people is there and driving much of the discontent, and it really is in Beijing's interest to find a solution. I would hope that wiser heads prevail in Beijing to figure out a way that that can be done, both to reassure Beijing that it's not going to undermine their sovereignty over Hong Kong, but also to meet the demands and aspirations of the people. It's a tricky balancing act, but it's something that really needs to be addressed to ensure that Hong Kong has a stable and prosperous future.
Anthony Dapperan, Hong Kong-based writer and lawyer, ending that conversation.